All right. So what I want to do tonight is, you know, the purpose of tonight is we just want to consecrate the building to Jesus. You know, he gave us the building. And so I just had it on my heart to gather together as a family and to worship the Lord, to give thanks to God for giving us this building and to consecrate it to the Lord, cleanse the building, and just prophesy over it and bless the building that would be used for his glory. So that's what we're going to do tonight. And I wanted to take time in particular to share the story just of how God gave us the building. And so that's what I'm going to do right now. My wife's going to help me. So you can come anytime, or would you rather just jump up when you feel like saying something? Okay. So we'll just do informal tonight. So first of all, Proverbs 13:12, you know, why am I sharing this testimony? I'm just kind of sharing it all together. Because it says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but here's the key part. A longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And I am sharing the story is because I want the remembrance of God giving our church family, giving us this building. I want it to be a tree of life in our family history. You know, where we look back on this miracle that God did for us years from now, decades from now, when we're facing other obstacles and other challenges and God's calling us into take new ground in the future. I want us to look back and remember the faithfulness of God and how he gave us this building and draw strength from it. Let it build our faith so we can take the next mountain that God's calling us to take. Amen. So I want to begin, before I even get into this building, I want to actually start back. I have the Jefferson test. And or opportunity and promise. So really, you know, we started the church in 2005, and honestly, a building's never been that big of a deal to me personally. It's just not been. I want to take a city for God and a region for God. That's a big deal to me. Seeing people saved is a big deal to me. Seeing people pray and worship and encounter the Holy Spirit, that's a big deal to me. So seeing people grow in Jesus and get free and get healed, et cetera, that's a big deal to me. Buildings have never been a big deal to me, to be honest with you. And so we started in 2005, and, you know, I always just kind of had this attitude. I'm like, Lord, you know, if you want to give us a building, give us a building. And but I'm going to be focusing on what you said to do. I'll be praying. I'll be sharing the gospel. I'll be making disciples and teaching your word. And if you want us to get us a building, get us a building. That's your business. And so that was kind of the attitude, to be honest with you, that I've had for years and years and years. And I felt peace in that. I really did. That was my place of confidence and rest and my place of faith. And the opportunity came in, was it 2014, the Jefferson? Okay, it was several years ago. We had an opportunity. Actually, we were, our leadership team, was it 2015? Anyway, it was somewhere in there. I should have looked that up. But, you know, our leadership team, we just started talking, and somebody had an idea. I think it was Autumn or me. We had an idea because we were like, man, I wonder if because the Jefferson building was sitting empty right across the street from where I live. And so we thought, I wonder if they would let us rent it, you know, because it would be a bigger meeting area, and they're not using it right now, I don't think, for anything. So I wonder if they'd even be willing to sell it. So Autumn talked to them and to the school board, and they were super excited that we had contacted them because they were basically, the school district was in this tough place. They had this giant building that was estimated to be about $2 million value. And they were going to have to pay, was it $2 million value, something like that? Or $1 million, a lot. It was over $1 million for sure. And but they were going to have to, they didn't have a use for it. It was hard for them to sell because it was a school building. It's huge. What do you use it for? But they were going to have to probably demolish it, which was going to cost them about $150,000, $200,000, something like that, just to pay to get the thing demolished. And so they were kind of like, man, we're going to take a hit for this. And when they found out we were interested in possibly purchasing it and using it for church building, they were super excited. And so God gave us lots of favor with the school board. And they were like, absolutely, we're interested in selling this to you. And they were consulting with lawyers to figure out how to do it. And we prayed about it as a leadership team. We're like, man, we feel good about pursuing this. Let's do it. And so we moved forward with that. And Autumn especially, you know, was interacting with the school board and over the course of a couple months and just doing all the stuff it takes, you know, to get it ready. Finally, they decided, you know, the way their attorneys recommended that they could sell the building was to have an auction. That was the best way that they could do it. So, but they were kind of thinking we were going to buy the building. We were thinking we were going to buy the building probably. And so they ended up setting the date for the auction. And we told them right from the beginning, we're like, we only have, I think we had 75,000 is all we had saved up for a building at that time. And again, I had this commitment. I'm only going to pay cash. I'm not taking out a loan. That was my thing before the Lord, which I'll talk about in a little bit. And I said, that's what we have. So, you know, if you're thinking you want more than that, you know, don't go through all the trouble for us because this is what we have. And so they were like, no problem. They did it. And what ends up happening is a week before the auction, we're all ready for it. You guys knew about this, where church had been praying on it. We've been praying, God, you know, we didn't want to pray selfish prayers, but we felt good about pursuing it. And so we were like, Lord, I just pray that this property would be used for the glory of God. Lord, I just pray that people get saved on this property. God, that it would be a lighthouse in our city, that this in our neighborhood, that this property would. And we felt good about it. And then about a week before the auction, we get word that another church in town was planning on coming to the auction and bidding for the property. And that was, we thought that we were the only church who was interested in that. And I remember, you know, when I first heard about that, I was like, huh. And right away, I just felt this thing. I felt the Holy Spirit right away. I was like, you know, just as my personal conviction, what I felt the Spirit telling us, I felt like he was saying, hey, don't bid up your brother and sister in the Lord. Don't go to an auction and bid them up, because we want the property to be used for the kingdom of God. It's not about our church. It's about being used for the kingdom of God. And I don't want to, you know, I would hate to have a go and then bid them up and then have it be where it's used for the kingdom of God, but we waste 30,000 extra of kingdom money, you know what I mean, just to get it for God. So God really put on my heart Philippians 2. And I'll read it to you in a second, but this is a really big part of the story, actually, because God had been stirring me leading up to that, and I didn't know this was coming. That totally caught us by surprise. Both Autumn and I, we were like, oh man, that was like a wrench thrown in at the last minute. But you know what? It was God. It was totally the Lord. I think God set the whole thing up as a test, to be honest, and for us. And so the Lord had been stirring me for a while before that. I'm like, God, I have great confidence that you're going to bring us, our church family, into the place of influence and impact that you want us to be at. You know, you have a plan for us, whatever measure of influence, impact that is. I have full confidence that you're going to bring us into it. I'm not going to bring us into it. You're going to bring us into it. It's going to have to be God that does it. I have confidence that you'll do that when you're ready to do it. But here was my concern that had been growing in my heart. My concern was, God, will we have the character? Will we have the godly character, the humility, the meekness, that when you bring us into that place of greater influence and impact, that will be the aroma of Christ, that will not be there with a heart of pride, thinking it's all about us, that will have a servant's heart, loving our brothers and sisters, blessing others, preferring others over ourselves, honoring Jesus. That was really stirring in my heart, because I'm like, God, we have to have meekness. That's the big thing that's in my heart. And still to this day, the big thing that's in my heart is like, I know he's going to do what he wants to do with us, but I'm like, God, develop the character in us. Develop the godly character that when you put us on a pedestal, that they see Jesus and not just see our human stench. Does that make sense? And so that was, God had been stirring that in my heart for weeks leading up to this moment. In Philippians 2, I'm going to read this to you because this was the passage God used to speak to me in that moment. Philippians 2, it says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And here's the key verse that God used. he told me. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Listen to this. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. And then it continues, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And then it goes on, who being in the very nature of God, how he humbled himself and became obedient to death, and he served sinful humanity. That's what he did. Even though he was God and he had divine privileges that were his right in his inheritance, he actually laid those down to prefer sinful human beings, even over himself, to serve them, to honor them. And then how did God the Father respond to that act? It says, therefore, my dear friend, oh no, then it says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And so, you know, I'm very familiar with this passage. This is a key passage in my life, and it has been for years and years and years, about leaning into humility. And I know this. I just know this kingdom principle. God promotes, God exalts, and when he does, he looks for humility. He looks for a servant's heart. He looks for love. He looks for people who are pursuing his interest and not just their own ambition. Does that make sense? And God had been stirring my heart for weeks leading up to that moment. And all of a sudden I found out, and the Spirit just spoke to me from Philippians 2. And he's like, Jeff, I have given you an opportunity. I am giving your church an opportunity to not just seek your own ambition as a church, not just to look to your own interest of James River Church, but to look to the interest of the other church here in town. And serve them, prefer them over yourself. Consider them better than yourselves. And now I'm telling you, I just want to emphasize this. This is what the Lord was speaking to me, okay? And so I don't in any way, you know, I believe with all my heart, God wanted the other church to have the building. I believe it was for them all along. I think God did it in the way he did it because he wanted to bless them. He did a lot of things. He wanted to bless them with the building because, you know, they're an awesome church. You know, they're wonderful people. They deserve a great building. You know, we rejoice with them. I'm so happy that they got the building. But I believe also he was doing it the way he did it because he wanted to set us up for a promotion. That's what he wanted to do. And before promotion comes the test of the heart. And he had even prepared me for the test weeks leading up to me. He'd been stirring this deep burden. I'm like, God, give me an opportunity to sow into serving sacrificially. And all of a sudden, boom, here's the opportunity. And he's like, just step aside and let them get the building and do nothing for it. And I knew I was actually excited because I knew Philippians 2. I knew I'm like this kind of a opportunity to make a sacrifice like this doesn't come along all the time. You know, these are rare, special, golden opportunities. And so I was like, God, I'm going to do this. I'm so excited about doing this. And part of me was super excited. The other part of me kind of felt the death of it, the death of a dream, right? I kind of felt both emotions at the same time, but I felt joy and triumph. And I'm like, I know God's going to bless us. I know he's going to reward us. I'm so excited to get the reward. And I'm excited. The reward I want most is intimacy with God and a servant's heart. I want the character of meekness imprinted in our church forever and ever and ever. So I was super excited about that. God promised me that we would get promotion for this because it was such an opportunity to lay ourselves down. And then God gave Autumn a promise too, and I'm going to let her share that real quick.
Yeah, so Jeff had mentioned, like, this was, it truly was a test designed just from the Lord. And I feel like it, I mean, you could take it personally, but I feel like it was just for me. Now it may be for the whole church, but because there's something about when you're the one that does all the work, you know, and Jeff, he is not administrative. I mean, he has other gifts. He hates administration. I love hate administration. I can do it. And so I do it, you know? And so this whole process of working towards getting Jefferson, it was something I carried. I carried it. I spent hours at school board meetings. Have you ever been to one? not the most exciting thing in the universe, okay? I actually went to school board meetings, showed up to build the rapport that I felt we needed with the school board, to build trust, filling out paperwork, giving them proposals, jumping through every hoop they asked, and more. And so, I mean, really, honestly, I might have had 40 hours of admin work alone, along with also, I had renovated the whole thing in my mind. You guys, you know me. I'm going to renovate a mansion for all eternity someday. I'm just going to renovate in heaven. And so I was like, this is a renovation made in heaven. This is going to be awesome. It's a beautiful building. And the church that has it has made it even more beautiful, which is awesome. So the test, you know, this is just, I'm sharing this because our testimonies, this is an opportunity for a learning moment for all of us, and we should continually be learning from it. And I don't know how many times over the last couple years I would refer in my mind back to that moment and say, like that, Lord, I want to respond like you led us through that. You know, this lesson I learned from that, this situation is carrying me. And so the pain, like he talks about, I was just so excited instantly that, you know, in case you were in this room and that wasn't how you felt at that moment when you heard, surprise, never mind, all right? You're not alone. Like, so when I first heard that, oh, there's another church, like, and one of our best friend churches in town, like, we love this church. And, you know, out of the woodwork, no one in the school board, no one in the school district, nobody knew they were interested, nobody. And so when all of a sudden, 1 week, you know, 7 days beforehand, they announce publicly they're going to be at the auction and go for the building. Like, when I first heard that, I was like, I was spinning. You know, I'm thinking, first of all, it took literally prophetic words from the Lord to get us to move on that building because it's a huge building. It's a huge responsibility, you know? And so we literally had, words, outside words from people around the state, had no idea what was happening, call and say, the Lord says, when the Lord puts a door before you that no man could put before you, you better walk through it. And I was like, whoa. I mean, you know, there was just like, we knew we were supposed to walk towards this. And praise God, we did. And so, you know, you're trying to figure it all out at that moment. Like, God, you know, you told us to go after this. Did you tell us to go after this so that we wouldn't get it? I mean, why would you do, you know, my human reasoning, that doesn't make any sense. You know, so I'm working through that. And it was within an hour, Shannon stopped by the house, and I just told her what was going on. She says, let's pray. And she starts praying. And I don't even remember what she said. I don't think I heard a word she prayed. But immediately, I had a vision. And I saw a long line. And I heard the Lord say, Autumn, if you'll take the place at the back of the line, I'll give you fruit in the nations. And I knew at the same time, Jeff was off on his own praying because we were like, Lord, we got to know how to respond and how you want us to respond. So while he was getting the fresh download of Philippians 2, the Lord was telling me the same thing. Go to the back of the line and serve. And if you will, I will give you a place in the nations. And it wasn't just me. I saw myself standing in Europe, but I knew that that picture was for our entire congregation, that God had a plan for us in the nations. And part of choosing the way of humility was part of the promotion. And it was just like Jeff said, there's only a few times in your life that you get to take, that humility costs you something really great. You know what I mean? Like every day we have little acts of humility with our family. And then there are these moments that when we've leaned into like little acts of humility, there are these opportunities that we're like, whoa, if we choose humility now, this thing actually like looks like something, and it hurts kind of in the natural, you know, but it's so special to be able to choose to serve others like when in the moment it feels painful. And so that vision has carried me for 3 years, honestly. I probably think about it maybe weekly even. I mean, whenever the Lord does something in the nations from our church, or we send another person overseas, or we get another invitation, you know, we're going again, our family is in personally in October to Europe to minister. And as we are like moving forward with this birthing of the missions movement, hello, we're trumpeting this thing, right? And we're with the Lord. I am so aware that God, you set us up for a test. And the Lord spoke to me during this time, and he says, Autumn, if I would have told you to do all of that work so that you could get a building for this other church, would you have done it? And I said, absolutely. If you would have told me, put 40 hours in so that your brothers and sisters of this other church could get a new building, I'd have been like, absolutely. It just took me by surprise because I thought I was doing it for myself. Right? But when it put, I'm like, yeah, God, I would have done that. I would have done that grunt work and that paperwork and all of that stuff to bring it to the, help bring it to the place of auction for them. And they're so worthy. And I'm so thankful for how it turned out. I mean, because they're doing an amazing work in the city and they're taking such great use of that building. And it's right next door to us, guys. Remember, we live right next door to it. And we have a church now right next door to our house, which is like amazing blessing. And so anyway, I just want to share that part of the story and that vision that I feel like we're seeing play out before us every day in our calling as a church.
So that happened. That was the Jefferson test, or I call it opportunity. The Lord says in Proverbs, it says, the crucible for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. So anyway, that's good. I love the tests of the Lord, and I love it, especially when he gives us grace and we pass them. And I think we passed. So then, but that's important. That lays the groundwork. So then, I had these convictions about a building for years and years and years. I actually just this week looked up a journal entry that was from June of 2012, and I wrote my five conditions for getting a building, okay? And I wrote them down before the Lord. I'm like, these are my five things, and basically I would summarize, and I actually, all five of them he fulfilled in giving us this building. And I was like, that's pretty cool. I was like, didn't I write a list somewhere about some conditions I had? I couldn't remember what they all were though. And I looked them up. I'm like, oh man, he did all five. That's so cool. So basically I could sum them up in two. Okay. So my convictions about getting a building was no debt whatsoever. I mean, I just felt clearly from the Lord. He had told me that years ago. He gave us a prophetic word in 2008 about no debt. And so we're like, we will never take on debt. I'm like, God, you're going to have to speak to me and command me to take it on, because I feel like you've already commanded me not to do it. And so if you're going to change that, you're going to have to send an angel or something really cool. So I was like, no debt whatsoever, no matter what. And my conviction was, Lord, if you want us to have a building, you're rich. Buy us a building. That's your responsibility. And then number two, like, is no distraction. No debt, no distraction. I don't want to be distracted from our mission of prayer and making disciples of Jesus. And so I'm like, I don't want to do it. My big thing was like, I've seen stuff before where a church is on mission and then they get a building and they get off mission because their new mission becomes the building. And maintaining it and fixing it up and taking care of it and making it look nice. And I'm like, I don't want that to happen. I want to stay focused on making disciples. I want to stay focused on prayer. So those were basically my things. And I want to just read this scripture from Ezra, because this is one of those scriptures that God would use for my conviction on I'm not going to the world to ask for money, to do something for God. And it says in Ezra, where Ezra, you know, they were the king of Persia had sent a remnant of Israel back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, okay? And so they're on the way there, and they stop. It says, and there by the Ahava Canal. So they're on their way to Jerusalem. It's Ezra chapter 8, 21 through 23. And there by the Ahava Canal, I gave orders for all of us to fast and humble ourselves before our God. We prayed that he would give us a safe journey and protect us, our children, and our goods as we traveled. Here's the key verse. For I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to accompany us and protect us from enemies along the way. After all, we had told the king, our God's hand of protection is on all who worship him. So I just love that, you know. So he tells this unbelieving king, he's like, our God is the real God. He protects us. If we worship him, he'll bless us. He'll protect us. So he's like, I can't ask him, would you send a whole bunch of troops to protect us from bad guys along the way? Because he'll just say, I thought your God protected you. Why do you need me to do it? You know, that's basically his reasoning right here. So here they are. They're humbling themselves with fasting and praying. Oh, God, protect us. We said that you do this. Because, of course, God says that he does that, right? And that was kind of my conviction. I was like, you know, my personal conviction, I'm like, God is our provider. And that's part of our testimony even to the world. God is real. And this is, we have a covenant relationship with him. And one of the parts of our relationship is he promises to provide for us all of our needs. And so if I'm going to say that and trumpet that, and then this is my conviction. So I'm not putting this on you. I'm just telling you the story. And so, so for me to say that and then go to the unbelieving world, go to a bank and say, hey, God is my provider, but would you loan me some money so I can get this building for God? To me, the conviction in my heart is that undermines my witness and our witness as a church. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I feel like it would not honor the Lord to do that. And again, I'm not putting that on you for what you do with your properties and getting loans. That's between you and Jesus. I'm just telling you his dealings with me and my conviction. And so I'm like, so I'm not going to do it, Lord. No debt whatsoever. God is our provider. And so those were my things for getting a building. So, by the way, one of the other things I told the Lord, one of my five things, was I'm not going to look for a building. If you want me to have a building, you'll have to bring it to me, because I'm not just going to spend tons of time every week going around looking at property after property. I mean, that's exhausting. I don't really enjoy that anyway. Even when I've done it a little bit for houses for us, I'm like, gosh, just get a house, you know. So I'm like, I just don't want to go look and thing after thing, because then that's that many people I can't meet with and I can't, you know, go do the other things that I feel like I should be doing. So I said, God, you're big. If you want us to have a building, you provide for it and you bring it to me. I don't want to have to do it. And one of my other things is I want the building to be ready to use when we get it. So whether we build it from scratch, buy a property and build it from scratch and you provide for that, or whether we buy a building that already exists, I want it to be ready to use when I move in. I don't want to have to do tons of construction work just to get it so we can finally use it. I'm like, just bring it to us, pay for it, and have it ready for us to just walk into and start using it. So the Lord did all of that, and it's just so cool. So the Lord sent the YWCA came to us. We've been renting this building for 6 years. We were already using it before we bought it, so it was ready to use. And they came to us. They approached us, and they said, listen, we're selling the building, and we want to offer it to you. And they had it appraised. It was appraised. The appraisal value was anywhere from $176,000 to $400,000 it was worth. And I don't understand that. That's a big range. I don't know how that works. But that's what the appraisal was on it. They said, but we want to offer it to you for the lowest amount, the $176,000. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then they said, plus, we want to give you all the stuff that's in the building, like all the chairs, the tables, the projector, the screen, you know, just the stuff that comes with the building. And I was like, wow, that's the utilities. I mean, like, you know, the ovens and appliances. Thank you. That's the word. And I was like, wow, that's a really, I felt that was more than a fair offer. And I was impressed by that. And so I was like, well, let's pray. And Autumn and I prayed and we're like, I feel good about it. We talked to a few key people in our church that we wanted them to pray about it. And they all felt good about it. So we told them, okay, we'll do it. But this is what I told the why. I said, we'll buy it, but here's the deal. At that time, we had just slightly over $100,000 saved up toward a building, because we've been saving for years for someday, if we ever get a building, we've been saving. And we had just crossed the $100,000 mark. I think we had $101,000, something like that at that time. So we told the YWCA, we said, we'll buy the building, but here's the deal. We're only going to pay cash for it. We won't go to the bank and take out a loan. And we only have $100,000 right now. So if it's going to work, you're going to have to give us time to get the rest of the money. and because we're not going to take out a loan. And if you don't feel comfortable doing that, we totally understand. You can go ahead and put it on the market. And we trust God. If it's His will for us to have the building, He'll get us the money in time and we'll be able to buy it. So do whatever you have to do that's best for you. And they're like, no, you know, we'll wait for you. We'll go ahead and do it. We want you guys to have it. I mean, they are so good to us. We had so much favor with them. And they were like, yep, go ahead and get the money. So that was last summer. And we needed to raise around $80,000-ish dollars to do that. So let me see where I'm at in my notes here. So we need two miracles. We needed two miracles to happen. The first miracle was the zoning had to be changed on the property because a church, the way the zoning law was, a church couldn't purchase this building to use it for a church. And so we had to get a zoning variance with the city to be able to change the zoning law for this property so that a church could use it for that purpose. And so we were like, okay, God, you can do that. So we started praying about that. And then the other miracle we needed was $80,000. We needed the money to be able to buy it. And so we started praying about it right away on Friday nights, okay? And so we began praying on Friday nights, and I think it was one of the first Friday nights, maybe the first Friday night that we actually prayed over it in our prayer meeting. I remember the prayer meeting. It was a powerful time praying. I think Anna was leading the prayer hour, and we were praying over the building. It was anointed prayer. And that night, I had a dream from the Lord. And in the dream, I saw a team of angels. I saw a team of angels, and they were just working feverishly. A couple times in dreams, I've seen teams of angels working together. They're so awe-inspiring. I mean, they are so impressive. They work with such excellence, such enthusiasm. They know exactly what they're doing, and they just do it. Boom, boom, perfect. They're diligent. They're perfect teamwork. It's just awesome. I just like to watch it. So in this dream, I see this team of angels, and they're all making phone calls, and they're doing this stuff. And one of them comes up to me, and they say, he says, I'll tell you what, we want to get this building for you. And so they said, here's the deal. You need a variance with the city. They said, no problem. We can put in a call to the state government, which is the government that's higher than the city government, right? They said, we'll put in a call to the government, the state government, and they'll get that city to get that variance through. No problem. That's going to be easy. We'll take care of that for you. And the second thing we'll do for you is we will fund the entire thing. We'll fund it for you. They said, here's the paperwork of the deal. We'll just sign right here if you say yes to this. And in dream, I was like, yes, not a sign. I'm like, that sounds good. So I woke up the next morning and I was like, that was a cool dream. I didn't get the interpretation at first. You know how it is. You know, you wake up and it's like, huh? And I'm tired. I'm like, that dream was from the Lord. That's kind of cool. And then as I started thinking about it, and I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm like, that was really a cool dream, you know? And I'm like, so Autumn and I told Autumn, and we're like, yes, Lord, we say yes. We're just telling you. So we agreed together in prayer. We're like, in Jesus' name, we say, amen, Lord, we're signing right now. Get the variance for us and get us the money, fund it. We say amen. And so that was good, right? But time goes by and, you know, money started coming in. We just had people from the church, you guys, just giving generously. You know, really throughout the whole time, you know, that you guys were giving generously and we collected an offering, but we got all the way up to around $150,000 mark, somewhere in there. And then we got stuck. We still needed about 25 to 30,000, and we were stuck. It's like the needle was stuck on like 150,000 and it wasn't moving. And we're like, huh? And just weeks were going by and nothing was coming in, and we're just stuck there. And we're like, well, Lord, we're stuck. You know, we just realized that we were stuck. And, but I knew the dream, and I want to share this part of the dream with you, this part of the story with you, because I think this is instructional for when you're going through things like this. The YWC had offered us, like, hey, you don't have the money. Why don't you just close and pay what you have? And then we'll make you a deal. I mean, they were just being so good to us. They really wanted us to have the building. They were going out of their way to try and help us. And they're like, you just pay what you have, and whatever amount is left after the closing, you can just pay it to us in payments over the course of the next year, and we'll only charge you 1 point. It was like the lowest interest they could legally charge to do something like that. And they were just really trying to help us, which, to be honest with you, just in the natural, it was a really good deal. And I was thinking, I'm like, nah, no debt. And I thought, I don't know, Lord. And, you know, I was kind of in my mind, the back of my mind, wrestling. I'm like, I don't know, maybe that's not the same thing as going to get a loan from a bank. I mean, you know, we could do this. And here's the battle that I was fighting. It was the temptation to, it was within my reach. I could reach out in the flesh and take it. Or I could trust God and do it his way, the way he promised to do it and the way he instructed that he wanted to do it. And I was kind of like at that point where I could justify, you know, it's not going and taking a loan. We can make these payments. We're paying $800 a month anyway right now to rent it. You know, it was that kind of logic. And I remember very clearly, it was another Friday night prayer meeting. I'm telling you, God speaks to me on Friday night prayer meetings. Friday night prayer meeting, the Holy Spirit clear, he spoke to me and he says, no debt, none whatsoever. And and this is what he said to me. He says, Jeff, if you do that, he says, I will be robbed of getting the full measure of glory. I won't get the full measure of glory that I deserve and that you want me to have. I won't. You know, I'll get part, but I won't get the full measure of glory if you take it that way. He said, no debt. And he put it in my heart, and I had this zeal for the Lord. I'm like, God, I don't want it if you don't get the full measure of glory that you deserve for getting it. So I'd rather not have it than to rob you of even a little bit of your glory that you deserve. And so I was like, none whatsoever. So the next morning, that was a Friday night, I told the Lord, no debt. Amen. The next morning, Saturday morning, I just wake up. I'm spending time with the Lord. I'm reading the Word. And when I read the Word, the passage I happen to be reading, I did not plan this, is Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10. Now, this is a very significant passage of Scripture for me. I'm going to tell you a backstory so it will make sense of what happened, okay? So, backstory of this Scripture, I'm going to read it in a second. A number of years before that, probably 2, 3, 4 years before this, we have this thing in our family with my wife and I. God does car miracles for us a lot. Like, he's given us 7 cars since we've been married. We've given away 4, but he's given us 7. And it's just kind of this thing where we just kind of starting to expect it. And I mean, in a good way. It was just like, okay, this is something cool God does with us, you know? It's just, thank you, Lord. And we had just gone through this situation where my sister, who doesn't know the Lord, needed a car, and God prompted Autumn and I to give her our second vehicle. And we use both of our vehicles. We need 2 vehicles, especially now that Malachi drives. And so we're like, but he said, give it away to her. And this is the reason why. In my mind, I was thinking, you know what? She doesn't know the Lord, so she doesn't have this covenant with him. So, but I do. So I could give her my car. God will just give me another one. But she doesn't know if God, she doesn't have that, so God can't just give her one. So I'll give her mine, and God will just give me one. That literally was my reasoning. And so I called her up. I said, if you can drive here from Alabama, you can drive my car home. If you can get here, you can drive it home and have it. I'll just give it to you. She was blown away, you know, by that. So she comes up here, she gets the car, an awesome story. We signed the car over her. Here it is again on a Friday night, right before Friday night prayer meeting started. It's always a Friday night prayer meeting. Right before prayer meeting started, I mean, literally minutes before, we signed it over to her because she was going to leave the next morning, Saturday morning, to drive back home. We signed it over to her. She's like, this is so cool. And, you know, and she's agnostic. That's what she says. She's agnostic. So, but I was like, yeah, God's real. I was like, God's real. And then within probably 30 minutes or less, Stan. And so Stan shows up for prayer meeting, and he comes up to us. He has no idea what's happening because we hadn't told people. We just did it. And he comes up to us, and he says, you know what? I was here, and he's like, I felt like God just spoke to me really clearly. He had the vehicle he was driving at the time. I felt like he said, lay it at the apostles' feet. So I feel like God just wants to give you this car. I was like, are you serious? This is within 30 minutes of signing it over. I was like, I mean, I was impressed by this, actually. I mean, I was like, wow, this is quicker than ever. And I was like, really? I'm like, do you know what just happened? And he's like, no, that's what God told me to do. I'm like, are you sure? You know, because we never want to manipulate people to have to, you know, we're like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, this is what God told me to do. I want to do it. I'm like, okay. So he signed it over to us. I went to my sister. I'm like, look, he just came. I told her. She's like, no way. I'm like, yeah. I was like, I told you God's real. I told you the Lord's real. And so we had this car, and we had it for about 2 weeks, and we were using it. But immediately when he gave it to us, we felt like it wasn't for us, but we didn't really know what to do with it. Well, then there was a lady in the church at the time who was just driving a real junker vehicle. It was just not a very safe vehicle for her. And I just, you know, we love her like a daughter. So we were just like, Autumn and I both were like, let's just give it to her. And God will give us another. That's what we're thinking. He'll just give us another one. So we gave the vehicle to her. She's like, thank you. She was blessed by it. And I'm thinking, you know, it took about 30 minutes last time. I was like, you know, any time, Lord. But a week, a month, months go by, no car. And I'm thinking, huh, that's weird. I'm like, God, where's the car? You know, like, we actually need a second car, Lord, actually. And so I started looking at, I'm like, you know, I can afford a car payment. I was like, I can get a used van. And I started even looking at them online. I went to a dealership even and looked at a few vans that I saw. I was thinking, I can afford a car payment. And I was spending, and I was kind of leaning that direction. I was just going to buy it. I'm like, God will provide for it. If he doesn't give me one, he can just provide by providing payments. That's no problem, right? Except that in 2008, God had spoken very directly to me in Autumn, no debt, even in our personal life. You don't take out loans. You don't go into debt. You trust me. And so, but I was kind of in that place where I was rationalizing it away. I'm like, well, I can afford the payments, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And then finally, one day, I was reading this scripture in Jeremiah. I'm going to read it to you. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those, here it is, who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. And I read that verse and my heart was smitten. And because I realized, I'm like, you know, so many times we're in this position in life where we can do things God's way and trust in him, or we can reach out in our own strength and take it for ourselves. And sometimes God says to do that. You know what I mean? He puts things, he's like, yeah, I bless you. Go ahead and take it, pay for it. But for us, it was one of those moments where I would have been doing it on my own accord, not at the leading of the Holy Spirit. I would have gone against what he spoke to me to do it. And when we do that, when we rely on human strength instead of trusting in God to come through for us, here's what it does. It turns our hearts away from the Lord. That's really what it does. And my heart was grieved because I want to be a worshiper. And it says, anyway, it goes on. I'm going to read the rest in a second. But the Lord spoke to me about the car thing when I read that. He's like, Jeff, he spoke to me so clearly. He says, Jeff, he says, if you want to use your money and make payments and buy the car, you can do that. I'll bless you and you'll have your car and you'll be able to make the payments. But then he said this, he says, but if you'll do it my way and you'll wait and you'll trust me, he says, then not only will I get you the car, he's like, but your root system of our history together, of my faithfulness and coming through in your life will go deeper, and it will enhance our intimate fellowship together, and it'll be a tree of life for the rest of your life. You'll remember my faithfulness here, and it will strengthen you in future seasons in new obstacles you face. And when he said it like that, I was like, I'm not buying the car, because it's more important to me that my heart grows in love and trust than it is that I have a car. And so I want that. And so fast forward now, 3 or 4 years later, God says, no debt. It's Saturday morning. I'm just reading the Bible. And I just happened to read the exact same passage that next morning. They are like, it says that people who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord, they are like stunted shrubs in the desert. I'm like, God, that's not I'm thinking Psalm 1, tree of life. My roots go deep and my fruit is big, right? Lots of it. And I'm like, I don't want to be a stunted shrub in the desert. You know why a stunted shrub in the desert is? It has no root system. You know, it has no root system. It says they have no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord. and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Why? Because their roots are so deep. They're tapped into subterranean streams, and they can go months without any rain, and they're thriving because their roots are so deep. They're tapped into subterranean streams. You guys following this? And I thought, and then it says his, their leaves stay green, listen to this, and they never stop producing fruit. And I remember telling the Lord, I'm like, God, I don't want to be a stunted shrub. I don't want James River Church to be a stunted shrub that just does things in our own strength and then celebrates, and but we don't have the root system. Because you know what I know? It's great shaking. Great shaking is coming upon the earth. And we're going to need these testimonies in our root system of God's faithfulness as a provider, that we're going to do things his way instead of our own way and take it into our own hands. We're going to trust in the Lord and let the Lord vindicate us, the Lord provide for us, the Lord defend us. You guys with me? And we're going to need this. And I'm like, because when long months of drought are coming, our roots are going to be ready for it, and we're going to thrive and never stop producing fruit, even in difficult seasons. And I said, Lord, and I remembered what he said to me before. He says, Jeff, you're in the exact same situation where you're being tempted to do it in your own strength or to do it my way and take me at my word. And I said, no debt. You're getting the full glory for this. And then he prompted me this. He's like, I want you to go public. I want you to, and I'd already talked about it before at other times, but specifically, he's like, Sunday morning, I want you to get up and I want you to just say it out loud, settle the issue once for all. Say, the Lord is going to provide the full amount for the building, and we're not going to have to take out any loans whatsoever. So I did it. I shared it with Autumn. She's like, yeah, do it. So I did it. You guys still following me? I'm getting to the end, I promise. But we're still stuck at $150,000. I'm like, well, God, we're stuck. We need to get the needle moving. And this is my thing before the Lord. I'm trusting in you. You know, you can read books. There's so many church growth. I mean, there's whole books on how to lead your church through a building project, how to raise funds, how to do all this kind of stuff. But the Lord is clear today. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not just going to do things in my own strength and in the flesh. I'm going to trust you. If you prompt me to do stuff, I'll do it. But I'm not just going to do it because the books say this is how you do it in your own strength. If you prompt me, I'll do it. Otherwise, you're the provider. I'm going to trust you. You'll do the provision. And so I'm like, we're stuck, though. What are we going to do? And I wasn't going to make phone calls and try to raise money. I'm like, no, it's in your hands. It's your responsibility. And but we're stuck. And then Autumn and I, we were praying. And I'm sharing this part of the story. Yeah, you can help share. And I want to just share this part of the story. I really felt when I was preparing to share the testimony tonight, this is something that we haven't shared with people and didn't really ever intend to share with people. But I felt prompted to actually include this in the story. And the reason I felt prompted, because one, it's part of the story. But number two is for instructional purposes, because situations, you guys, we got leaders in this room, we have future leaders in this room, even in your own household. This is a true biblical key for getting spiritual breakthrough when you need provision. And so that's why I'm going to share the testimony with you. Can I share it? I'll share and then you add. You'll steal all the thunder. All right.
All right, so... This is a good man right there. So we're stuck 20,000 short, and it's October, okay? And we were supposed to be closing at the end of the year. Well, they kept moving the date. They thought maybe the 1st of December. And this thought keeps going through my mind. You need to give your whole paycheck. But let me tell you, we had went on two overseas ministry trips and then went to Awaken the Dawn. We had nothing. We had nothing. Like, when we go overseas, we empty every account, buy our tickets, and we have nothing. On top of that, October is Pastor Appreciation, which is really fun. And a lot of times the church does, like, really, you know, so generous. Well, I had already in September, you know, I just went to Patty and winter, whatever. And I said, you know, I don't want to make this awkward, but I want a building. I don't need a gift certificate to, you know, any, I just, you know, nothing for pastor appreciation. It's really important to us. We want to just sow into the building, you know, and let's not spend any money. You know, we love you, everyone. Thank you for being so generous. But anyway, so nobody else maybe even knew that was happening. But I, all these things are going through my mind. There's not even going to be a meat certificate this year. Sometimes you get meat. And if I sow, I have nothing. Like, I have nothing. God, if you don't come through, I have nothing to go to for our mortgage. And for weeks, this is gnawing at my mind. Like, I want to lead in this. And so finally, like, I knew how it was. I would struggle through it for weeks. I would come to Jeff and he's like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, oh, things are so easy for you, because he's just like super full of faith and doesn't do the finances either. He's like, God will provide you. So I'm like, I'm fearful. I'm so fearful. But I had this feeling like, I think if we will sow our whole paycheck, this whole thing will break open for us. And so I came to Jeff, and it was played out exactly how I thought it would. Here I am trembling and shaking. I've worked through it for weeks, silently praying. Finally, on my own, for a week, I'd been declaring, I will do this, I will do this. Finally, I come to Jeff, and I'm like, I think we should sow our paycheck, like our whole paycheck. And we don't even know how the mortgage will get paid. We just sow it all. We don't even know how we're going to eat. We just sow it all. And I think God's going to break this open. And he's like, awesome, yeah, let's do it. I'm like, I knew it would be like that for you. It's like instant excitement. We both were actually really, really excited. And we sowed that paycheck, and nobody knew except for Patty. Nobody knew, nobody. And all of a sudden, people start, the church starts saying, I just feel like a spirit of poverty is being broken off my life. Do you know how many people came to me during that time? During that month. And they were like, something's happened. A spirit of poverty has broke off my life. And I mean, we had like single mamas giving like $500 offerings. Like, I mean, might've been what they made in a month. You know, it was like, and I was sitting there going, oh my goodness, God. Oh my goodness. And when Jeff said he wanted to share this, I was like, oh, I don't know. It's our reward. I don't want to. But then I'm like, you guys, like when you're in charge of something, like there's really a power on leadership, and there's a power when like nobody else even sees something, but what you do is like, it releases stuff in the spirit. That's why when leaders are in sin, junk happens in the church, and nobody may know that some leader is stealing, but all of a sudden there is just sin all over in the congregation because demons are released literally. But when you have a leader that acts in faith and righteousness or does, you know, godly things, even in secret, there are spiritual realities that are released over congregations. And so like, it was like the greatest joy for all of a sudden, like when we did that, things just busted open and we had 20,000 in the bank account like that. I mean, we went, the needle was just stuck. And then by mid-December, we had it all. I mean, we were like ready to close for weeks and weeks, just waiting for you know, all the stuff that we had to wait for. Did I steal everything?
Yep.
It was a big deal for me. I have to say this. God provided for everything. Like, actually, I just kept a journal during that time. Because it was such a big secret. Like, I knew part of it was like, we have to, like, we're not going to tell anybody. I don't want to leak this. And then someone brings me a gift and I have to wonder whether God's really providing or whether I just kind of did it in my flesh. You know what I mean? And so during that time, like, every bill got paid. And on top of it, like, the most crazy things happened. Like, have you ever seen those Blue Basket or Sun, about this, these food programs where you can pay like big money and they send you food, like several meals in like a box, and the recipes, that's kind of gourmet recipes. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. Okay. So it's like, it's something I would never do. I make homemade meals. I would never custom order my meals online and have them like brought to me in a box with fresh herbs and like seafood. And never has this ever happened to me during this time. This friend contacts me and she's like, I've got all these certificates for these free meals. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And so while we're like paycheckless, is that a word? And believing God for the next, like for the mortgage, and we're believing him for $20 for gas. We are eating like lobster. I mean, I don't remember what it was. Some kind of rare seafood I've never had in my life with this lemon sauce and fresh herbs all over. I mean, it was like the best meal we'd ever eaten in my, seriously, number one meal of the last 12 months. For me, it was good. I think it tasted so good because, oh yeah, we had lamb last night. That was good too. Someone else gave us lamb. The meat miracle continues, guys. It's so fun. And it was just like, I wrote it all down, like every single thing. And our children were the only ones that knew. So it was so fun because I'm like, look at guys, as we're feasting, this is what happens when you sow your whole paycheck. You feast like a king. This is what happens. And we tell them when something came in and we're paying a bill. This is what happens when you trust the Lord. God shows up as a provider when you have no other option. You can't do it yourself. Anyway, so it was fun.
So giving is a supernatural act. It really is. I mean, it's never just a giving. It's a supernatural act. And there is this principle in Scripture. And we've seen, it's just in the Word. And we've done this throughout our marriage. But a lot of times when you are in need and you need a breakthrough, it's counterintuitive to the things of the natural way of things, but it's totally in line with the Spirit. Sometimes when you have a financial need, you give. And then it releases things in the Spirit. When you operate in that generous spirit, you're expressing your trust in the Lord, and then miraculous provision comes through. And it doesn't always happen right then at that moment. God gets you through, and sometimes it comes in later. But it's really true, and we've just seen this, and right away we just knew. We're like, you know, I think we need a breakthrough in the Spirit. We had the dream from the Lord with the angels, so we're like, well, let's just do it. And we did, and it was a blessing, man. It was awesome for us, too. It was awesome for our kids. And I just want to make this point to you. There were so many, so many people in the congregation that really gave sacrificially, generously, way more than we gave. I mean, that kind of thing. I mean, just powerful, powerful, and all that contributed to it. But I'm just telling you the part of the story I have permission to share. So we did that, and there was breakthrough. God provided the full amount, and we, on January, I think it was 28th, we officially closed on the building. We wrote a check and paid the full amount. The cool thing was this, is we actually didn't even have to dip into our, you know, we thought we were going to have to dip into our savings and all this stuff and kind of clean out our whole account, everything, just to pay for it. But we didn't. We actually just wrote a check, and we still had money in this church savings account and stuff like that, so we were able to just keep rolling along like normal and not even take a little blip on the screen. It was just good. God provided it. So he provided it. We paid cash for it. Glory to God. Amen. So that's the story. Took an hour to tell it. You guys are still awake. All right. So that is a real principle, and that's what I felt on my heart. Autumn shared it really well. But really, when you are a leader, even in your house or whatever, you can do things in this supernatural acts in secret that nobody knows about, and it will release things. We've all done this so many times in different ways. When you see that church needed a breakthrough, and we go on a fast secretly. Nobody knows about it. God, we fast for this breakthrough in our church, and we just start seeing those breakthroughs manifest. There is a real thing. And so many times we think leadership in the kingdom, you know, it's not just what we do in the natural. It's what we do in the supernatural. In the Spirit, it releases things. So that's why we share that. Just good leadership for you and your family and in different situations at work that you see you need breakthrough in. Man, pray, fast, give. It's all good. So let's pray. Why don't you guys stand with me? So here's what we're going to do tonight. This is the order. Believe it or not, I'm pretty much on schedule. I want to do this. So I wanted to share that story. And then what we're going to do now, we're going to spend 20 minutes or so. I just want to pray together. I'm looking at my schedule. That's here. We want to pray together over the building. And three things. You know, we want to cleanse the building of just any sin that's ever been committed on this property, any that's invited, any demonic, any curse, anything ever against this property. We're just declaring the blood of Jesus, and it's reset. It's what's going to happen right now, is we're going to pray over that. Then we're going to take the building and consecrate it to God, that it would be used for his glory, for his kingdom, for his purposes. And then we're going to pray blessings. We're just going to declare blessing over the building, that it would be a blessed property. Amen. After that, we'll take about 20, 30 minutes doing that. Then we're going to take about 30 minutes or so, and we're just going to walk through the everywhere you can go. We're just going to walk around the property, prayer walk, all of us, and just declare blessings and prophesy blessings over the whole building, every single room, every part of the building. Then we'll come back together and finish with about another worship set that Chad will lead us in. So that sound good? So I want to pray right now. And here's what specifically on my heart is the promise that God gave us with the Jefferson building. He says, you do this, you'll be promoted. And specifically, one of the aspects of the promotion is you'll have fruit in the nations. Impact in the nations. So I want to claim that promise again right now as we do this. So Father, we just come to you. We say thank you, God, for this miracle of giving this building to us, for your faithfulness, the way you've helped us. God, we just confess that every good thing, God, even tests that you helped us to pass, you walked us through those tests so faithfully, just like take us like the kindergartner, the teacher taking him in the hand and walking us step by step through what to do. You are so faithful. You made it very doable for us to pass these tests. And we just thank you for your grace, Lord. God, we ask that you would receive the full measure of glory that you deserve through this testimony. Father, that's what you, and I pray that this testimony will be a tree of life in our root system as a church family, in our children and their descendants, that it would be a tree of life in all those who hear of it, Father. And I pray, God, that this testimony would strengthen our faith, that it would lead to many more testimonies of miraculous provision in the future that bring you much glory. This is what we want, that you would work it in such a way that you'd get glory not only from this story, but from the new stories that come because of this story, in Jesus' name. So, Father, right now we ask you to completely fulfill your promise to us from Philippians 2, that we would always, as a church family, that we would always walk in meekness with a servant's heart. God, please give us this grace. God, I acknowledge before you, God, this is impossible without your help. This is impossible in our own strength. As much as we want to do it, it won't happen unless you continually help us and remind us. For Father, we ask you for that grace, that you'd always remind us to choose serving, to choose humility, to choose love, to choose righteousness. God, we ask you for that grace to be upon us, that we would bring you glory and not reproach. And Father, I ask you for the second promise, that you would give us fruit in the nations. And I declare even that you would use this building toward that purpose, Father, whatever that looks like. God, we just ask that you would give us fruit in the nations, Lord, abundant fruit in the nations, God, that we would be able to be like a hern hut, a praying community that's a sending community, that we would have hundreds, God, thousands of churches planted throughout our region and all over the world. Revival taking place, unreached people groups will become reached people groups, God, through missionaries that you send out from here, Lord. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I want to do right now is I'm just going to pray cleansing over the building. You guys agree with me, and then I'll open up the mic in a sec. Where'd my wife go? Oh. Okay. Lord, right now we just come to you, and God, we plead the blood of Jesus over every part of this entire property that you've given to us that we own. Right now, we just declare, God, you know the history of this property. You know, even hundreds of years ago, God, you know all the sins that have been committed on this property in the past. Father, you know doors, God, any wrong doors to the demonic world, God, that have been opened on this property. Father, you know any curses that have been spoken against this property. And right now, we declare, we plead the washing of the blood of Jesus over this property, and we declare that all of those sins are cleansed. All of the consequences, the curses, the negative effects from those sins or curses spoken against this building are cleansed. They're broken in Jesus' name. From this point forward, God, they have no effect on this property. And we declare that we consecrate this property to you. May it be for your glory and used for your pleasure and for your purposes, for your kingdom, in Jesus' name. And God, we ask that you would bless it. God, that you would bless this property, that your presence would be here. God, that miracles would take place here, healing, salvations, deliverances, equippings, encounters with God that bless nations, that bless our city. Father, make this property a blessed property that you receive much glory through everything that happens here. Father, we declare right now the reset button in the spirit over this property. The blood of Jesus cleanses it and sanctifies it. Holy Spirit, bless it, fill it for your glory in the name of Jesus. So I just want to take a few moments, and if you just have like a script.